Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Just wanted to let it breathe, baby. You can't go wrong with a little Van Halen right now. Van Hagar, I kind of like a little bit better than David Lee Roth. You?
I like David Lee Roth a bit better, although this is it's not a bad song. It's a good song.
This is an anthem. Yeah. The beginning of it with the piano. I mean, how do you not get jacked up with this song?
What jacks you up more, the opening of this or the opening or Eruption?
This one.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Because of the lyrics as well.
That's true.
The lyrics are great. The lyrics are motivational.
The Seahawks used to come onto the field to this song.
They should
have. Back in their Kingdome days in the 1990s.
Turn this thing around right now.
Well, they were trying to turn it around because they weren't very good for most of the decade until Mike Holmgren showed up.
No hyperbole, but this is the most motivational song ever written.
Really? What about like...
Don't want to wait till tomorrow. Uh-huh. Why put it off another day?
What about Eye of the Tiger?
Eye of the Tiger? No. This one wins. Plus, the music behind it is great. I'm not going with Survivor. I'm going with an established Hall of Fame rock and roll band.
I mean... Well, just if you go for the body of work, obviously Van Halen is superior.
Song's better. Just move on.
But you're thinking, it's better. Move on. You know, Eye of the Tiger's like, rising up, back on the street, did my time, took my chances.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. I grew up in Northbrook, Illinois. I'm a Jewish kid from the North Shore of Chicago. I didn't grow up on the bad streets.
Hey, but it's about fighting to keep your dreams alive. Like they say, don't lose your grip on the dreams of the past. You must fight just to keep them alive. Eye of the Tiger.
Please don't sing that. Okay. We already went through this yesterday. Please don't sing.
Well, I wasn't singing along.
You just did.
No, if I were singing along, the song would be playing, but we're not playing the song.
By the way, if you want to watch Andrew sing, go to milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. By the way, in the second hour of the show, we are giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Absolutely love this place. They smoke their meats, which seems like forever, talking about the wings, the brisket, the ribs. They have smoked meatloaf, smoked corned beef. I mean, seriously, great sides as well. Great non-barbecue options. They have two great locations in the Denver Metro off of Centennial or in Centennial off of Arapaho. That's where I go. We're also in North Denver. Going to give away $20 second hour of the show. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, I don't want to lose listeners by saying this. Maybe we'll gain some listeners. If you are not interested in Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos, this might not be the show for you today because there are so many different things that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about other things as well, but this is going to be Rodgers-centric heavy, starting with this. Brett Favre did a radio interview today and doesn't believe Rodgers is going to come back to the Packers, is what he said. I think I know Aaron fairly well, and honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's just bury the hatchet. Whatever caused this rift, and I'm just going to come back and play because I love these guys. I love the Green Bay fans. I assume he does. But this rift isn't with the fans or the players. It's with the front office. Will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see it happening. If there is not a trade, Favre went on to say, my gut tells me he'd rather sit out than play. That's just my gut, he went on to say. There's no reason for me to say that other than that, from what my gut is telling me on what Rodgers has told me by text. Mm-hmm. I think you guys know Aaron fairly well enough to sort out of kind of the way he feels about things.
Yeah, and there's a lot of interesting things, not the least of which is Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, despite being kind of at loggerheads many years ago, have become close.
But you grow up and you move past it.
You grow up, you move past it, and as Aaron Rodgers went through life, he realized Brett Favre is one of the few people who understands exactly what I'm going through.
Right. Unlike Michael Jordan, who still can't let go of Jerry Krause, and we'll talk about that later on in the show.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that Favre would say this. And the other thing is, Favre understands how when you've got a situation where someone is brought in behind you, it can eat at you. Now, as we've discussed, Favre brought some of that on himself by dilly-dallying and dithering and talking about retirement every year. And finally, the Packers called his bluff. Aaron Rodgers has said, no, I want to play into my 40s. He's given no sign that he wants to pack it in anytime soon. So it's a different dynamic. You can, from that perspective, understand his frustration. And oh, by the way, as we're going to get into about how apparently he was telling teammates even last year that he was looking to move on. Despite all that, he turned around and had an MVP season, even though all this was in his mind.
You and I have a lot of sources on this story. So does our friend Benjamin Albright, who works for another station. So does our friend Mark Schlereth, who works for another station. Mm-hmm. So do national guys, Ian Rappaport, Jay Glazer. All of us have really good sources on this. But for all the sources that we have and all of us that are talking about it, is it Brett Favre's statement that holds the most weight?
Yes.
I agree.
I think so.
Because it's all on the record.
Favre will say some crazy stuff, but he would not say this about Aaron Rodgers if there wasn't something there. He wouldn't. He wouldn't sell Aaron Rodgers kind of down the river like that.
Right. And I think Rodgers is smart enough to know who he's talking to.
Yes.
And what to say and what not to say. What he wants out there, he has Favre as a mouthpiece, but he is smart enough to only tell Brett what he wants out there. He's not saying to Brett, at least I don't think he is, hey, when you do a radio interview, talk about this. But you know guys like A.J. Hawk, who were with Rodgers at the Kentucky Derby, yeah, and other teammates, you know that they're going to talk to other people, whether it's on the record or off the record. So you tell them what you want to, knowing it will probably get out. I'm sure there are some things that Rodgers is not going to say to them because he doesn't want them to get out. But essentially, his message is getting out there like a tsunami floods the land.
And it's getting out there because he wants resolution. And I think Aaron Rodgers wants the next phase of his football life to start as soon as possible.
Do you think we'd be talking about this much, if at all, if the Broncos were not involved?
No. Because it wouldn't be a big story here. We'd be talking a segment or two every now and again about it, like we do big national stories.
And this is one.
But this is a local story. It's a local story because the Broncos have interest. It's a local story because, and this does matter to some degree because it reflects knowledge, the Broncos are the favorite to land Aaron Rodgers if the Packers choose to trade him. They're the in every sports book, every casino right now, the Broncos are not only the favorite, but the overwhelming favorite.
To get him. With that.
And also, the other thing we know this, Green Bay would prefer not to trade Aaron Rodgers in the NFC. And Aaron Rodgers, by all accounts, would prefer, if possible, to go west. And that really leaves you two teams, the Broncos and Raiders. And the Raiders, while there would be interest, have a significant amount of hurdles to making a deal happen that the Broncos do not have.
You know what we should do? I don't know how we can do this, Danny. You're probably better at this than I am. We should put together some sort of a drop. Can you work on this? And it would be 26 days to Aaron Rodgers, 25 days to Aaron Rodgers. Today is 27 days from June 1st. If something's going to happen, that's the soonest it's going to happen. Let's just do a countdown. Like you're a prisoner sitting in a cell and you got chalk on a wall, counting the days until you get out. Let's just count this thing backwards. Do you ever watch on MSNBC the show with Brian Williams at 9 o'clock at night?
Yes.
He starts every single show. He did it with Trump and he does it with Biden. Day 123 of the Trump presidency, day 98 of the Biden presidency.
Yeah, and
we might as well just do the same darn thing.
Yeah,
because
we're
really,
gonna, we're going to count it down, though. I mean, if we count it ahead, we could say this is day 7 of Roger's watch because this thing began last Thursday.
We can do that, but then it doesn't give the listener or the viewer an end game on when is this going to end. There will be resolution, I would think, by the first or the second.
And if there is,
they just can't have this constantly hanging over their heads.
Unless they decide to really just dig their heels in. But when you hear things
the first time it could happen.
Right. But when you hear things like Diana Rossini of ESPN talking about how the Packers organization is deflated, when you see things like the rumblings that this came from Rob Domofsky of ESPN, who covers the Packers, that the Packers are thinking that there may be tampering going on, but they haven't filed anything.
We'll talk about that later on the show.
And may not file because it's hard to prove. When you put all that together, it sounds like an organization that is accepting the battle is lost more and more. Maybe they're not at acceptance fully, but perhaps in the five stages, they are in bargaining or depression after being at that denial anger stage last week.
Danny, see what you can do. With that, the Broncos need themselves a right tackle. Now, you can say they have some in-house candidates, but they are bringing some guys in out of house. Who are they? We'll talk about that next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Does this song make you feel like you want to drink a beer and then crack the bottle over somebody's head in a bar?
If I liked beer, yes. Maybe just alcohol in general, perhaps. A drink that I like, but I'm not really a beer guy. I've never liked the taste.
Ever see the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze?
Yes.
That is such a guy movie. Was that song in this?
I don't know if it was in that. I know it was in...
Should have been if it wasn't.
Well, wasn't in it. I know it was in Terminator 2, I think, when Arnold Schwarzenegger goes in and to the biker bar, your clothes. I can't really do it.
I've never seen any of those movies.
Really?
No. Not into that stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Puts on and then he steals somebody's biker gear and he's and it's playing bad to the bone and he hops off on somebody's hog. You know,
I have a pretty good track record though when it comes to movies. I can honestly say I've never seen a bad movie. Never.
Yeah. Really.
Right.
Would you like to know why?
Why?
Because when a movie comes out, I want to see who's acting in it, what kind of reviews they are, and is it considered, generally speaking, really, really good? So I go to the movie theater maybe 3-4 times a year.
Bad to the Bone is not in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think it was. So I have a pretty good track record of good movies. So if you want to know a good movie, I could probably tell you. I can't tell you any bad movies. Like Terminator movies, that's why I haven't seen them.
Yeah. Because you think they're bad?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Maybe they're not your taste. What kind of movies do you like? I know you like... I like
really good movies.
You say you like Star Wars movies.
I do, because I like the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never really seen a bad movie, honest to goodness.
You've never seen a bad movie?
I don't think so. I don't think I have. Mm-hmm. And when I have, I've walked out of the theater.
Well, then you have seen a bad movie because you walked out of the theater.
I haven't seen the whole movie, so that doesn't count.
Oh, but you saw part of it. So what's a movie that you walked out of? Tell me.
The last movie I walked out of, I was living in Kalispell, Montana, so that was nearly 30 years ago.
Okay, do you remember what it was?
No, if I did, I would tell you.
See,
I didn't see the whole movie.
If I left the terrible theater...
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
I've never walked out of a movie, but I've stayed to the end of movies that I didn't really like.
Yeah, I would never do that. It's a waste of my time. I would never do that. I'll tell you what
Part of it is like you're waiting for it to go somewhere. I remember seeing, I think it was a Zodiac. It was about the Zodiac killer.
Okay, let me ask
you. And I'm like, okay, this is going to go somewhere, right? It's going to, the tension's going to build, and it never did. And I was like, that was two hours of nothing.
Do you like to watch movies with Amy?
Back before the pandemic, we went on movie dates quite a bit.
Okay. Have you ever seen a movie by yourself? I'm guessing you have.
Plenty of movies.
As have I. Now, I'm going to find out what kind of husband you are, because this is the type of guy that I am. Have you ever gone to see a movie and you think, while you're in the theater, Amy would really, really like this? Has that ever happened?
It's hard because I don't like to assume that other people are going to like something that I do. And in fact,
you know her taste.
I don't know. I don't.
After all these years, you don't know what kind of movie she likes?
A general kind, but I can't. I have trouble guessing from time to time. I don't like to put myself in the shoes of saying, oh, you'll definitely like this. Because that also puts pressure on me. I'm like, if I say you're going to like this and you don't, then I look bad and I hate that.
Well, I don't have to worry about looking bad because I'm usually right. I'll give you a good example.
But the thing is, just because something hits a certain way for me, I know it might not hit that way for somebody else.
Yeah, it would. You know the person. You've been with Amy for a long time. You know what she likes.
I have trouble reading people. I can't even read you sometimes.
Well, I'm an easy read.
Yeah.
My
wife and I celebrate our 12th anniversary this week.
Oh my, you've been together 12 years?
And I still have trouble reading. Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay, I'll give you
I'm not very intuitive on people. It's being on the spectrum that does it for me.
You got to fall back on the old, I'm on the spectrum line. That's a convenient excuse.
It's not an excuse, it's a reason.
Sure, okay.
Well, I don't have the wiring. I don't have the wiring to read people well.
Okay, so when the movie Ford versus Ferrari came out.
I haven't seen it.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It's a very, very good movie. And Mandy loves cars, and she loves really good movies. So I was sitting in the movie for about 15 minutes, and I thought to myself, she's going to love this movie. And I walked out.
Really?
Because I wanted to share it with her.
Aww.
See, that's what I said. We'll find out what kind of husband you are. But because you have no intuition, because you're blaming it on being on the spectrum, I got it.
And also, the other thing that happens is 99% of movies, she sees before I do.
Oh, so she's selfish.
No, she is sitting there she's on call at the hospital in the anesthesiologist call room. And when you're not called in, you're just sitting there and waiting. So she naturally has a lot of time that she can watch movies that I don't possess.
Right. All right, time now, goes. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Okay, so the Broncos are reportedly bringing in Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle, Bobby Massey, offensive tackle next week. You and I could probably spend a whole segment on how much money is Juwan James going to lose, right? I'm hearing this on the radio today. Everyone's picking it apart. We talked about it right when it happened. Quite frankly, I'm past that. I really don't care how much money he loses. I really don't care how much money the Broncos lose. That really doesn't concern me.
Well, if they save money, though, that's money that can go to Aaron Rodgers.
They'll find money anyway. The point is, I'm well past how much money is going to be won or lost by either side. At the end of the day, he's not playing, and that's my focus. So we're not going to get into, he might lose $10 million, $15 million. I really don't care. With that, do you like either guy to be a starter, Kelly or Massey?
1 year starter.
Yeah, they're at least 1 year.
That's they're 1 year band-aids. That's what you're talking about here.
Yep.
Get through a year and then you're probably resetting it in next year's draft. In fact, let's say you're in an environment where Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Okay? Let's assume that happens. Then one of these guys is your starter for this year. And then you get to next offseason. You could bring in a guy in free agency, but I would also say that the chances would be very good, if not excellent, that your second round pick, if you still have it, is going to be a right tackle to start right away.
Right. I mean, we could already put the Broncos in a mock draft right now, first or second round tackle.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you know what? For George, who has shown he likes to take the best player available in the draft, unless he does something big in free agency in 2022, he's going to have to take the best offensive tackle on the board at that time, no matter where he winds up drafting.
It might require trading up. Yeah. Kind of like he did this year for a running back. Now, the other possibility is that you start developing somebody, and that's where you say, all right, do you move Dalton Risner? I don't have any indication that they are going to move Dalton Risner right now. But let's say you get through this season, and one of these guys is your bridge tackle for a year, and then you step back at the end of the year and say, wow, Miners and Natani Muti, those guys are on the rise.
Right. By the way,
they're demanding to start. And then do you think, all right, let's see if we can get to Dalton Risner back to right tackle where he did well. He does have 34-inch arms, by the way. We've talked a lot about arm length right. on this show in the last week
size
and a half.
Size matters.
It does.
Size matters.
Reach matters. Yep. That's why
I'm only 2 inches.
I'm fascinated to see how
from the floor
Rashawn Slater looks with the Chargers because they're going to ask him to be a tackle with shorter than average arms for a tackle.
You put something out on Twitter today I found to be very interesting, and I'm thinking, you know what? Chances are you're going to put it in the show notes, and you did. You tell me which is more troubling. The Broncos have had 17 starting right tackles since 2014, or they've had 10 different starting quarterbacks since the start of the 2016 season. Which is more troubling?
Quarterback is more impactful.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that having 18 different starting tackles since 2014, you wouldn't think that you could possibly top that.
And that's where
the quarterback position, it is.
Yeah, and they'll hit 18 if they sign one of these free agents and have him start. That guy is going to be number 18. Calvin Anderson was number 17last year. The hilarious thing, it's not really hilarious.
You want Elijah Wilkinson back?
No.
No, me either.
Because you know why? If they were going to bring one of those two tackles back from last year who were free agents, I'd bring back Damar Dotson because Damar Dotson was objectively better than Elijah Wilkinson.
Yeah. All right, coming up after the break, the Green Bay Packers, they have enough on their plate, but they have found some time to be upset at other teams around the league, including, potentially, the Denver Broncos. They are fighting a haymaker battle with Aaron Rodgers right now. And apparently, and reportedly, they could have enough energy to start fighting with the Denver Broncos. What's that all about? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM and reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
All right, here's a story from Rob Demarofsky of ESPN. Green Bay Packers are upset that other teams, including the 49ers and the Broncos, may have contacted Aaron Rodgers to gauge his interest. The Packers have not filed a complaint with the NFL, though, and tampering, as we all know, can be difficult to prove. I don't think tampering in the literal sense actually happened, from what I understand.
I would agree.
I don't think Gutekunst, the Packers GM, and that's a mouthful,
Brian Gutekunst.
And I don't believe that George Payton have been involved in any of these talks. It is my understanding it has all been back-channeled, and it has been started by Roger's agent. So the reason why I think Gutekunst and Payton have not been involved is for this reason and plausible deniability that anything is going on.
Yeah, they're back in 2008, before Brett Favre went to the Jets, the Packers were kicking around the notion of tampering with Brett Favre, and it got nowhere. Tampering is damn near impossible to prove, and you've got GMs who are smart enough to know that you wouldn't go about initiating the contact or having direct contact, but there are plenty of intermediaries, agents, even people in media, you know, as you're kind of fishing for bits and exchanging information, that can serve as intermediaries on something like this. So I don't think there's any case to the notion that the Broncos or the 49ers tampered. And that's what the report was today from Rob Domofsky, that those two teams that the Packers were thinking about bringing something up regarding those teams. I don't think there was any tampering. But to say that there wasn't communication through the back channels at both ends,
that's absolutely
naive,
true.
Incredibly naive to believe that.
Now, if somebody from the Broncos organization made contact with either the agent, David Dunn, is that who the agent is?
David Dunn is Rogers.
Whoever the agent is, or with Rogers directly, if they reached out, then you can make a case that is tampering. What if it's the other way around? What if Dunn is making phone calls? Is that tampering?
No. Because what?
Because they didn't initiate it.
They did. A, they did initiate it. B, I mean, what is to stop an agent from calling a team?
By the way, can I cut
especially
you off?
Especially one with as many clients as David Dunn has.
So I'm texting back and forth with a friend of mine, Chad, who owns Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar. And by the way, it's an absolutely great place to go. And he's a huge 49ers fan. And he just texted me and said, there is no way the 49ers tampered. No way.
Exactly. And I don't think there's any way the Broncos tampered
either. You know what, Chad? I hope they didn't. You guys lose Trey Lance, and he has to be forced to the Broncos. That's what I'm hoping. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's any way because I don't think anybody's that foolish and short-sighted
now
to tamper.
Now, what if Elway was involved somehow as a back channel? Does that change the stakes?
Because he's team president, yes, but I would think he, after all this time, he would not serve as a back channel. I think he would know that.
So how low do you have to go to be a back channel?
You can't be employed by the team.
Oh, well, I'd be willing to bet the house against a cup of coffee. Somebody within the Broncos organization is involved in this somehow, some way.
Reaching out to somebody.
No, I didn't say the Broncos. And yeah. I didn't say somebody from the Broncos organization reached out.
No, I'm saying they would reach out to somebody who would reach out. Is the point.
Say it one more time.
Like someone in the Broncos organization may have, through an intermediary, maybe not reached out, but there had a line of communication open to somebody who would be able to
Willing to bet, not my house against a cup of coffee, but I'd stick a grand on it that somebody who gets a paycheck that has the name Denver Broncos on the top of it had a conversation with David Dunn.
Well, David Dunn is with Athletes First, right?
Don't know.
Well, he is. But the thing is, I'm wondering, and I'd have to go back and look at my list here.
If Dunn reached out to a member of the organization, the Broncos organization, and that member of the Broncos organization did not reach out to Dunn, is that tampering?
No, it's not tampering.
You got to be able to answer a phone call, right?
Yeah, it's not tampering at all.
So what if John Elway, hypothetically, got a phone call from David Dunn? Is that tampering?
No, it's not.
So once I'm throwing out any random name.
Tampering would be direct contact from an organization to a player. If you have an intermediary, it is not direct contact.
So you're talking about... you could talk to the agent all day.
The agent. Well, I mean, the Broncos, I mean, what? You're going to say that you can't talk to an agent because he represents a client of another team, when Athletes First represents guys on virtually every team in the NFL.
So
you can't, right, you can't sit there and say, oh, well, you can't have a conversation with this agent because he represents a client on another team. If that were the case, you couldn't talk to most of the agents, period.
Okay. I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. I'm not trying to throw John Elway under the bus. I'm just using him as an example, mm-hmm, because he's the most notable guy in that organization. I can promise you George Payton was not having conversations with anybody involved in this situation. It is plausible deniability. So with that, if David Dunn called Elway, mm-hmm, for the sake of argument, and Elway said, I got to run, and then Elway calls him back, and they have a conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Is that tampering?
No, it's not.
Oh, then there's no tampering.
Yeah. Now,
then there's no tampering.
If John Elway called Aaron Rodgers, that's tampering.
What if our friend Mark Schlereth talked to Aaron Rodgers? And I'm joking when I say that, because he has already reported that he had communication.
But again, it's back channels and intermediaries. That is not tampering. And that's why tampering is one of those things you rarely see it result in penalties, because it is so difficult to prove.
Like collusion.
And yeah, exactly. And the other thing about it is there are so many back channels to where you can quickly find your way to make sure that the player knows of your interest without even talking to the player. It's very easy to do, and it's very easy to do in part because of agents and media who are going to that's where you're looking at the facilitation of this happening is agents and media. That's just how this thing works.
Danny, what do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance? Just in case you missed it, and I cannot believe the show is actually on time right now. This is stunning.
Yeah.
This is like the first time this has happened, like, since our last show.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Danny, what do we have coming up?
Coming up after the break, one of the Avalanche's top prospects set to make his NHL debut tonight. Also, the Nuggets hosting the Knicks. We'll talk about all that next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. Said, hey, old man, how can you stand to think that way? Did you really think about it
before you made the move?
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Ask them to come on at 5:45. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver, or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Avalanche are in San Jose to play the Sharks this evening, and their 2019 16th overall pick, Alex Newhook, will be making his NHL debut. How exciting is this for the young Avalanche star up-and-comer? And the Avalanche have a lead in the season series, 6-1. Is this game that important, or have they already beaten enough out of the Sharks?
Well, at the end of the day, they're trying to get the top seed in the conference, or the top seed in the division, I should say. Alex Newhook, he's just another Ferrari that you are adding to your garage filled with luxury cars.
You got that.
Or potential Ferrari. I mean, the kid has a chance to be really good. I'm not suggesting he is going to be the next Kale McCarr, but they just keep adding great talent.
Has anybody drafted and developed better than the Avalanche in the last 5 years or so?
They've done an absolutely fantastic job. And there was a time, I can't remember the year. I think it was, do you remember the year Paul Millsap signed with the Nuggets? Can you look that up?
Was that 2018, I believe? Hang on.
No, I think it might have been before. It might have been. Anyway, it was my understanding through somebody with the Avalanche.
2017, I was off.
It was my understanding that going into that season, that if the Avalanche did not play well, it was fair to say that Joe Sakic's job was in jeopardy. And then that season, they played really well, and suddenly things just took off for the organization. But he was on some thin ice heading into that season.
Was there thin ice? I like what you did there.
Well, it's all about the metaphors with me.
Just in case you missed it, New York Knicks in town tonight to play the Nuggets. That game will start around 7 p.m. These are the four seeds in the Eastern and Western Conference, respectively. Nuggets won the first and only other meeting between the two, 114-89. Do you think they'll take this one as easily?
Well, I figured, Eric, you were going to get on my case about saying that the Knicks games were tough after that discussion that we had last week when I was talking about the Clippers schedule and pointing out, hey, they've got the Knicks on there and the Nuggets had them as well. But it's a game you should win. It's a game you need to win, even though the Nuggets have the tiebreaker on the Clippers if it comes down to that. This is not a moment where you can afford to take your foot off the gas in any way, shape, or form. And the Knicks have only lost once, I believe, in their last one in 4-8. They only lost once in their last 14 games, I believe. I mean, it's a tough challenge. They should do well, but it's still not a game where you can just roll out there and expect to get the dub.
Right. I want to go back to the thing that we talked about with the Avalanche and Alex Newhook. Just to put this into perspective, the season before, going into the 2017-2018 season, the Avalanche had 48 points. The season before that, 82 points. So Sakic's job was on the line going into that season. And then they rattle off 95 points, 90, 92, and now we are where we are at. They took off. But I can promise you, Joe's job was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Just in case you missed it from the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, Les Shapiro, your old partner, Eric, about an hour ago
said, I just talked to him on the phone. What do you have to say on Twitter?
He said he's heard from two separate sources the Rockies intend to open up Coors Field to full capacity by June 1st. They're just waiting approval from, among others, the governor of Colorado. So if the Rockies do open up to full capacity, do you expect to see a little bit more impact of fans not going to the game in response to recent events with the franchise?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah. And the other thing is also you'll see an impact of people that are upset. You'll also see that not everybody is ready to come back at full capacity. Like, for example, down in Texas, they have a new park down there. And it was a big deal that they opened up at full capacity for opening day. Their attendance has kind of leveled off at about 25,000 a game. So some of it is the Rangers aren't great, but a new park you'd expect to do better. I think that there's still a decent amount of the population that just isn't ready to be back to congregating in the ways that they were before. So I think that combination of factors is going to create some swaths of empty seats at Coors Field over June and July. That being said, doesn't surprise me that they're opening up, because to get the All-Star game, that was probably something that on the down low was promised to Major League Baseball. Quietly, when the All-Star game happened in July, it was going to be in front of a full
house.
What's
the max capacity right now for the Rockies?
Just over 20,000.
Just over 20,000?
21,000. Or 21,000, my bad.
Okay, 21,000.
Yeah.
So in their last homestand, and I'm not talking about the San Francisco series, okay, because last night in the doubleheader, second game, they had 10,000 people there. But against Philadelphia, 20,000 and change, not a sellout by their standards. Game before, 20,000 and change, not a sellout. The game before against the Phillies, 14,000. Then against Houston on a Wednesday night, 7,000 people. The game before, 10,000. Even against the Mets, they could not crack 16,000. So is it really?
And that was a weekend series.
Was against the Mets.
Against the Mets.
So they have not been able to even hit capacity for what they're allowed. Why should we believe that full capacity is going to be any different?
I don't think it will be. And I think, like I said, there are two factors working against them. It's the team is poor. And then, again, as we've seen with Texas, which is open at full capacity, that people, I think a lot of people just aren't ready for it just yet.
You know, the funny thing is, in Texas, you would think they would be, because they are treating the pandemic very differently than they do here. I can understand.
The elected officials are. There's probably still 30-35% of the population down there that says, you know, I'm not ready to go back.
So I will cut the Rockies some slack because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You and I have both been fully vaccinated. Danny, have you been vaccinated yet?
Not yet.
Have you gotten one shot?
No, not yet. But I will eventually.
Have you tried to sign up?
No, I have a friend who's a nurse, though. She said she was going to text me a link, but she hasn't yet. So I need to ask her again.
There are lots of links out there. Andrew will find something for you in the break, because I don't care if you get vaccinated.
I'm an adult. I can handle it.
Are you sure about that?
Come on. Come on. Be nice.
All right. It was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk in any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. And that is a huge advantage, because you want to know maybe what a Viking range feels like when you're on that cooktop. Also, really experienced sales staff. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their outlet center in Denver. Coming up after the break, here's a name that honestly I'd never heard of. Jake Kumerow. Who is Jake Kumerow? I know his cousin, Eric Kumerow. He was a pretty decent football player, at least at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I think he played a little bit in the pros. But who the hell is Jake Kumerow? Well, I can tell you right now, Jake Kumerow could be the Yoko Ono of the Green Bay Packers. That's next.